It is good to see everybody out this morning. A few of us were here last week. I was going to say a few of us foolishly braved the snow last week, but I don't want to cast any dispersions on people. It was good to have those who came out to come out, but for the last few days I've had cabin fever, so I really missed you all, and I'm glad that had this opportunity this Sunday to be here and see all of you here and give God thanks for you, and even give God thanks for the snow and the ice, even though it is a bit of an inconvenience. This is indeed the day that God has made, and we give God thanks for all things. Our Old Testament lesson this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We will be reading from chapter 6 in Isaiah, verses 1 through 8, and I believe that's found on page 584 of your pew Bibles. The prophet has been called up into the throne room of God, and he sees a vision of God. And so at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Whither has your beloved gone? Excuse me, I'm in the wrong place here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with thongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin forgiven." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, hear and hear, but do not understand, see and see, but do not perceive." Our New Testament lesson will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 5th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And that is found on page 893 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish. And as their nets were breaking, they beckoned their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Henceforth you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your word, and we ask that you inscribe your words in our hearts so that we might be not just hearers of your word, but also doers of your word. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I like Peter, in part because there's nothing really saintly about him. He's kind of just a plain, ordinary kind of guy like many of us. Peter does things sometimes the way I think I would do them. Not with a whole lot of forethought before, but he just does things. And so I like whenever I see Peter in a particular passage, like our passage from Luke this morning. In our gospel reading this morning, we are told that Peter has had a bad day, or I should say he's had a bad night. He's been up all night fishing in the lake of Gennesaret and hasn't caught a thing. Now it's morning, and we can imagine that Peter is a little exhausted, probably frustrated, wondering how he's going to make ends meet. And then along comes Jesus. It's during times like this, when Jesus usually comes calling. Sometimes Jesus doesn't come calling when we're satisfied, when we have a full stomach, but sometimes it's when we're frustrated. Sometimes it's when we're anxious that Jesus comes calling. And so, indeed, we are told that Jesus comes to Peter at this very difficult and frustrating moment in Peter's life. Luke has already told us in chapter 4 that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. So Peter already knows that Jesus is a preacher and a healer. Indeed, we've been told that Jesus has gone throughout the region of Capernaum healing and casting out demons. But now Jesus doesn't come to do any healing. Instead, he proceeds to tell Peter how to do his job. Proceeds to tell Peter how to fish. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes a bit unsettling whenever someone tries to tell you how to do your job. And the text tells us that that's exactly what Jesus comes to tell Peter. Strike out into the deep, Peter. It's obvious you haven't caught any fish. You've been up all night and you haven't caught anything. Why don't you take your nets and strike out into the deep? Peter, we are told, offers some mild resistance. Lord, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. Now, I'm not taking anything from Luke's literary style, but I suppose that Luke is probably not being as emphatic as Peter was when Jesus told him how to go fish. I imagine that Peter was probably thinking to himself, Lord, I don't need you to tell me how to fish. I've been fishing all my life. I know how to do this. I know how to fish. I know this lake like I know the back of my hand. And besides, who made you a fisherman? You're a preacher and a healer, but I know how to fish. I don't need anyone telling me how to fish. I don't need anyone telling me how to do my job. You go take care of religious kind of things. You go talk about preaching and healing and praying, but leave the real world to me. We still say that to Jesus today in many ways. Lord, what do you know about business? What do you know about politics? What do you know about economics? What do you know about managing the environment? That's our domain. We know how to do that. Even though we've made a mess of things, that's our domain. Leave that to us. It's all right for you to be Lord of our hearts. It's all right for us to have a personal relationship with you. We know that you're the Lord of the whole world, but that's our domain. Leave that stuff up to us. The text tells us, however, that Peter does listen to Jesus. Peter does strike out into the deep. And you know the rest of the story. The catch is enormous. So much fish that Peter has to summon his partners in the other boat just to be able to take it all in. We are told that Peter is deeply moved by this journey into the deep. Peter realizes that he's in the presence of the living God. Jesus is not just a healer. He's not just a preacher. But Peter is in the presence of the living God. Peter realizes the vast gulf that separates God from human beings. Peter stands naked, exposed before God, who knows the very depths of all of our hearts. But instead of Peter being joyous and thankful over the abundance of fish, Peter, we are told, is afraid. Get away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinner. Get away from me, Lord, because I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not pure enough. I'm not moral enough. I'm not pious enough. It's dangerous for me to be in the presence of a holy God. Get away from me, Lord. But Jesus already knows all about Peter. Just like Jesus knows all about each and every one of us. Jesus isn't interested in Peter's imperfections. Rather, he's interested in Peter's commitment. He's interested in Peter's obedience. He's interested in Peter's passion. Jesus commands Peter not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Peter. I didn't come to condemn you. I didn't come to condemn the world, but I came to save the world. Don't be afraid. Peter, I came so that you might have life and have life in abundance. Don't be afraid, Peter. I've got work for you to do. I need your passion. I need your zeal. Don't be afraid. By the way, that command is given more than any other command in the Bible. Don't be afraid. It's given over 360 times. The Bible knows how powerful the grip of fear is in our lives. And so it tells us again and again not to be afraid. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. Don't be afraid to trust God. Don't be afraid to be called into the deep. Our text this morning, of course, is about discipleship. It's about transformation. It's about being called into a deeper commitment, a deeper obedience, a deeper relationship with God who desires that we have life and have that life in abundance. But often we resist that abundant life. We resist it because we are afraid. We're afraid to strike out into the deep. We're afraid to put our trust in God. As human beings, we have a penchant for the predictable and the routine. We like the shallow waters, where we are close to the shore, where we can see everything, where it's safe and we can be in control. We don't relish being in over our heads. We don't like being out of our depth. The deep is the place where we'd rather not go. It's all the places and circumstances that we'd like to skirt and get around and ignore. The deep can sometimes be dangerous and uncomfortable and unpredictable. Storms can suddenly rise in the deep. And yet we are reminded that it's only when we strike out into the deep. It's only when we leave our comfort zones and are willing to put ourselves at risk that we have a chance for growth and transformation. It's only when we're willing to strike out into the deep that God can use us. 50 years ago this month, 4 African-American college students from North Carolina AT&T College were called out into the deep. On February 1st, 1960, Ezell Blair, David Richmond, Joseph McNeil, and Franklin McCain all sat down to have lunch at a segregated lunch counter in Greensboro, North Carolina, a lunch counter that was reserved for whites only. The store decided to close early so they wouldn't have to serve these young people. But the next day, the students came back. Again, the store closed early. But on the subsequent days throughout the month, more and more young people showed up, black and white, male and female. They showed up. They started integrating lunch counters all across the city. And soon it captured the imagination of the whole country. Young people came from all over to segregate the lunch counters all over the South. Finally, the city fathers in Greensboro gave in and began to integrate the lunch counters because of young people who went out into the deep. Now, these young people could have chosen to remain in shallow waters. They could have chosen to stay within the confines of Southern racial taboos and conventions. They could have chosen to yield to their fears and apprehensions about what would happen once they got out of line. But instead, they chose to put their nets into the deep. And in doing so, they helped to dismantle the racial segregation in the South. The good news for us this morning is that God has promised that there is a new world coming. A new world, a new kingdom. A kingdom of peace, a kingdom of love. God has promised that in Christ. God is already reconciling this world to God's self. But God is looking for people who will be willing to be disciples. God is looking for people who are not going to be afraid. God is looking for people who's willing to go out into the deep. People who live their lives in such a way as to capture the imagination of others. This is what Jesus means when he tells Peter he's going to make him fishermen of people. It's not just discipleship language that Jesus was using there. It's not just evangelism language. It's not just mission language. But it's language about capturing the hearts and the imaginations of people. To be a fisherman of people doesn't mean just trying to get people to join our church. That's important. We want to do that. The church is the body of Christ, and we want to get people to join the church. We want to get people to join this fellowship. But it's much bigger than that. To be a fisherman of people is not just to go out and try to win souls so that people can go to heaven when they die. It's true that when we die, we go to be with the Lord in heaven. But it's much bigger than that. The Bible tells us that God is reconciling this world to God's self. The Bible tells us that God plans to establish the kingdom here on earth. That God does not plan, or that God does not intend, to let the forces of death and the forces of evil have God's good creation. And God is looking for men and women who will be committed to living that vision and capturing people with that vision. We often talk about vision in the church. We talk about vision here in the presbytery. What's the vision? Somebody tell me the vision. What's the vision? But God has already given us the vision. The New Testament is filled with the vision. We already have the vision in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't need the vision. We just need people who's going to be willing to go out into the deep. We just need people who'll be willing to be followers of Jesus. We need people that's not afraid, whose hearts and minds are not dominated by fear. To strike out into the deep means to trust in Jesus. It means to have confidence in Jesus above anything else. That's what faith means. When we talk about faith, we're not simply talking about an assent to propositions. We're not simply talking about what we believe with our head. But when we talk about having faith in Jesus, when we talk about having trust in God, we're talking about our willingness to follow Jesus wherever he might go. We're talking about our willingness to let our nets down in the deep, our willingness to let go of our shallowness, our willingness to get out of our comfort zones, our willingness to relinquish control, our willingness to follow the Spirit as we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we will partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It's a visible sign of an invisible reality. It's a reminder that we are called as one in Jesus Christ. It's a sign that we do not belong to the categories of this world. We don't belong to any of the categories and distinctions of this world. We don't belong to race. We don't belong to skin color. We don't belong to class. We don't belong to conservative. We don't belong to liberal. We don't belong to gender. We don't belong to any of those things. We belong to the crucified Lord. We belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to the one whose body was broken. We belong to the one whose blood was poured out for each and every one of us. That's who we belong to. We belong to the one who says, follow me. We belong to the one that said, cast your nets into the deep. The text tells us that Peter leaves everything to follow Jesus. Peter has just had the catch of his life. His boats are filled over to the brim with fish. He's got enough to last him probably many, many months. He don't have to worry about his livelihood. And we're told that Peter leaves it all behind to follow Jesus. This week, we'll begin the season of Lent. Lent is that 40 days that we journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he makes his way to the cross. We'll be reminded during the season of Lent of all the many, many ways that we say no to Jesus. All the many ways we'll be reminded during Lent of how our lives too are dominated by fear. Get away from me, Lord. We know that you're the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Get away from me, Lord. We know you're going to the cross. Get away from me, Lord. We know that you love me. We know that you love each and every one of us, but get away from me, Lord. I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not good enough. You don't want me, Lord. I'm not smart enough. You don't want me, Lord. I've let too many people down. Get away from me, Lord. We say no to Jesus again and again. We come here and we remind ourselves of the many ways that we say no. That's why we say our prayer of confession every Sunday, reminding ourselves that we too fall short of the glory of God. But the good news is that even though we say no to God, even though we say no to Jesus, Jesus does not say no to us. Jesus continues to tell us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of what's going on out there. Don't be afraid. There's a new world coming. There's a new kingdom coming. Don't be afraid. I need you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid. During this season of Lent, I hope that we'll examine our hearts and think of all the ways that fear does come to dominate our lives. Think of all the many ways that we do fall short of the glory of God. But also remember that God has loved us so much that he has gave his only begotten Son so that we might have life and have that life in abundance. God planned for us to have life in abundance. There is nothing stingy about God. God created the whole world. God gave his only begotten Son for you and me. God wants us to have life and have that life in abundance. And that's what Jesus has gone to do. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He wants us to have abundant life. We are called to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he makes his way to the cross, as he makes his way to the deep. That's what self-giving love will do. We are called to put our trust and our faith in the Lord of life as he gives himself for each and every one of us. But it's in that good news, the good news of a loving God that's at the very center of our world, it's at the very center of our universe. It's that good news that gives us the strength and the courage to go out into the deep and to let down our nets and to prepare our hearts and the hearts of our churches and our communities for the God of abundance. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with us all as we seek to fulfill that commission. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your grace and your mercy in our lives. We give you thanks for reminding us that you are a God of forgiveness. We give you thanks for knowing that you are not interested in our imperfections. You're not interested in the mess that we make of our lives. You are interested in our passions and our commitment and our obedience to you. We ask, Lord, that you help us to be obedient. Help us to commit our lives to you. Help us to strike out into the deep as we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he makes his way to the cross. We ask these things in his name here this morning. Amen.